would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, automatically deleted again, and several things. I'll try to be quick. Saturday, I did get a return postcard. Susanna, in just over a week, Lord willing, I'll be enter my second 5K race with runforthefreedom.com. Do you know why I do this? Love, Dad. The irony is it came on the day of Run for Your Freedom, for their freedom. Also, another postcard to George. 81 days left to a million jumpy jacks and the Big Frog mountain hike. It might happen. The reality of that is setting in with me. Will you know I invited you before it happens or something of that nature? It's covered. Anyway, it's online. And also another one to Gloria Jane. I want to hug you again. Love, Dad. You know, she's my girl. And I sent a postcard today to Dorothy Jane. Run for the Freedom was Saturday. I had an interesting dialogue on how kids become attracted to drugs. It concerns me. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're a man. So I did go to Run for Freedom on Saturday. I did not enter. But I was there. Chris sponsored me. And I used it for food instead. With his blessing. Anyway. I saw some videos over the weekend. I'm leaving the links to them because one of the concerns I have obviously is the focus on Ukraine is suddenly shifted to Israel. There is one U.S. running low on weapons, which is Brian Berletic. And again, I think he put the whole both contexts in very good perspective, and it included his comments about Iran and China, which is there in the anyway. I found it very informative, and I just wanted to leave the link there as a reference for maybe as a reminder one day. I also watched a interview with a gentleman that I was completely unfamiliar with. He was interviewed. He interviewed James Corbett, but the interviewer I was unfamiliar with. Israel Propaganda and Apocalypse on the Truth Expedition. So the Truth Expedition is his program, apparently fairly new. But the thing that was fascinating, the reason I included it, was part of the dialogue. He introduced himself by saying he ran for office and said once he did that or whatever, I forget, he found it was wrong. He's now called himself an anarcho-capitalist. And I did make a comment to him because the thing that was fascinating is this guy, and I don't know his name, asked James Corbett, should you be involved in politics, even as a voluntarist or an anarchist, both use, words are used, do you see any merit in at least getting the right people in office or things of that nature, or do you see a little participation and whatnot? And James Corbett comes back with a solid no and gives pretty good reason for it, except he lacks the foundation of Christ. And this guy, I think, if I recall correctly, at least alluded to that to a degree, especially because he did talk about the eschatology question in reference to what's happening in Israel. But the fundamental thing, because I actually, I did put a comment on there because, well, you know, I'm just that way. All right. I'll read it. I applaud your decision to run for office and mature to the point of saying it was wrong. I have done the same, and in the grace of God, I'm not in office. But when asked about the issue, the fundamental seems to be rarely addressed by those who use the Bible as reference, simply in Genesis 1, something most atheists can find. God delegates to man to be the overlord of the earth, plants, and animals, but never over another man. The Barman Declaration in 1934 addresses this, and I detailed it at. But there is more fun, power, and profit in being active somehow and imposing on others than trusting the Lord. Let's not address this, as it makes people uncomfortable. Oh, wait a minute. I did so directly. When it comes to the eschatology questions, what is happening in the country of Israel today, I ask those trying to take a stand on which to take a stand, which is better, to know 100% of what will or will not happen, or be a part of those the Lord claims? Is my knowledge puffing me up, or is my love building others up? Which is my reference in Corinthians, I think it was. Anyway, because I do find it fascinating that I've heard people, other people, but James Corbett is the one who probably articulates it the best about why you should not be and remain solid. No involvement with politics. No voting, nothing. But again, the one thing I don't hear from those who have at least an aura of Christianity is why. And I would suggest the why is simple. Genesis 1, Deuteronomy 17, 1 Samuel 8, Matthew 20, which is used in the Barman Declaration and the other things I mentioned. Anyway, now, sorry. I did it. I was wrong. And anyway, that's important. But the other thing I put in, you know, obviously I've seen a little bit. I followed it only a little bit. But the events that's happening in the country of Israel, and specifically in the Gaza region, because again, world's largest open air prison, you know, because it's relatively small and 2 million people live there. And apparently, it's one of the most densely populated areas on the planet. You know, when you look at places like Hong Kong and whatnot, well, Gaza is just packed. And you know, again, the wall. I think that's important to remember. The wall that isolates the Gaza Strip from the rest of the country of Israel, because it's considered a single country, is a whole lot bigger than the Berlin Wall ever was. I mean, it's a massive wall. And, you know, there was another one. I found that talked about it's the 40 beheaded babies, and Joe Biden says, oh, this is terrible news and whatnot. And apparently it's as, and I've seen several now do, a lot of people are referring to our Iraq invasion. Oh, the incubator babies thing. You've seen that video being played over and over again because that was staged. That was something in McNulty, whatever. An advertising company literally prepped her with a speech and whatnot to do this. And apparently it was the same advertising company that was used by, I think, Pfizer or something, you know. So, but anyway, but it was deception. It was a lie. It never happened. The 40 babies, there's no information about it. Zip. Apparently it didn't happen. And the other, some people are also mentioning the babies and bayonets, which is the Germans are doing that in World War One. Well, completely untrue. So, you know, the idea of we attack a baby just simply gives that emotional tie, gives you the weight of saying, oh, we need to hate those people. And I've heard several say, what happens is it's been seeded, because this is true with so many other things. Something has been seeded, it's been said, and then comes out, oh, well, that was false. But you've seeded in the mind of people, this terrible thing happened. Most, if they hear it, will probably not, you know, they won't connect it. Because that initial thing, that seeded thought, oh, I hate these people because they did this cruel thing, whatever it happens to be, that remains. Even though it's proven to be false. But this one particular reporter, I have this Gaza under attack. This is Al Jazeera, you know, one of my favorite news agency. They are so ridiculous. But anyway, they occasionally do something what they call between us. So this is somebody's personal opinion. So, and they actually put that at the end. This is, you know, but this is apparently a reporter who I've seen several, you know, recently because she lives in Gaza. It's her home. Works for Al Jazeera and has been a witness to several things. I mean, you'll see even in this video where she's standing, giving a news report, and then behind her, a massive building gets hit. Whoa! And I can understand if you're in that situation, it's kind of like, oh. And of course, there was a significant pause in there. There was, see, and one of the things I find, you know, again, beyond cultures, beyond languages and whatnot, you could see when the news anchor in the studio was talking to her live on top of a building, the explosion happens, and his words, I suggest, showed care for her. You know, beyond just simply the duty aspect, I sensed in the tone a care for her. Because, you know, Al Jazeera, one of their reporters was Shireen Abdul Akhli, who was the one that was killed by an Israeli sniper. And, you know, the politics behind that was horrendous. And the reason, you know, because if you go to the Al Jazeera YouTube channel, they have the image at the top. One of the images is one of these big, massive walls that exist in the country of Israel. This case, I think, was West Bank, which again has all these walls to isolate the Palestinians from the Jews. Because, you know, anyway. But one of the walls has a picture of Shireen Abdul Akhli, and I think this is what the news is still live or something of that nature, because she's well respected. And the thing that made it difficult, she's an Orthodox Christian with a dual citizenship, you know, Israeli, U.S. And so that allowed Al Jazeera, you know, a Qatari government funded, to push it a little harder with the country of Israel. They're not very fond of anyway. But this particular report is fascinating because one of the things you see, it's not somebody reporting about something that's happening. I'm a reporter and I'm going to go to this foreign land to tell you about what's happening in this war in this country. It's, I'm a reporter and I'm telling you about the war happening in my home. And it makes a difference. You know, when the people around you that are dying are family, it makes a difference. Anyway, I found it fascinating, so I figured I'd put that in. But yet one more. Years ago, I remember watching this gentleman, Mark Dice, who YouTube stuff. He's done stuff. He's a good presenter, you know, kind of an entertaining stuff and whatnot. But it was basically a little bit of sensationalism and a little bit of this is Republican kind of like, eh. So I got kind of tired of it and watched him for a while. Then I stopped and I don't think I watched him at all in like 2-3 years. But then this came across, I think actually was a link from somewhere else. I saw that. It's kind of like, wow. Because he does, if I went to his YouTube channel, I looked at several of the recent videos and they were kind of the typical stuff that I've seen before. This one was different. This is kind of like, well, I don't know if he's doing a bunch of these where it's not the sensational stuff, but he's reading a script, this is clear, and giving a lot of solid information. And he was talking about the issue between, the hard truth about the Israeli situation, what no one else will say. I mean, I'm impressed. And he's got a whole lot of views of that. Because, you know, he talked about the fact that, hey, this is a foreign country. We have no business there. You know, so he did some good stuff on that. And some other stuff that I would basically, I think for the most part, I was in general agreement. You know, because again, it's not the Jewish people that we must respect and bow down to, or the country of Israel. No, Jewish people are people. Palestinian people are people. They're people. Human beings created in the image of God. And the war that is happening has nothing to do with them being biologically Jews, which is questionable, or biologically Arab. Because the whole, it's the Zionism problem, which is a serious problem. And he addresses that. But one of the other things he did, which it just blew me away, 6 minutes into it, he not only discusses this, but points out Romans 9:6. And when I saw that, it was kind of like, what? You said that out loud? You know, because obviously I've said it myself many times. Not all who are descended of Israel are Israel. I've used that argument over and over and over again. Because, and, you know, expressed through the years, Israel, the word Israel, which is the idea of one who prevails or prince. I mean, check the definition of it. Pick up a Hebrew dictionary. It's the one who prevails or as a prince, things of the nature. That's the definition of Israel. What does it mean? Jacob, the person Jacob. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God. Genesis 32. God said, wrestle with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said to Jacob, you will no longer be called Jacob, but you are now called Israel. Israel is first used for the name of one man. Not a bunch of people, one man. Then it's also applied, the same word, to his descendants. It's also applied to the northern kingdom when Israel and Judah split at the time of Rehoboam. And, you know, the 10 tribes, or often called the 10 lost tribes, because where are they? And of course, you know, that's the LDS thing. But anyway, but also you can very clearly see, and I would suggest is consistent with Genesis 9:6, not all who are descended of Israel, of Jacob, are Israel, the elect, those who prevail. The elect. And I would suggest, if you look at both Old Testament and New Testament, you see the word Israel used in different ways. And you cannot simply say, oh, it means this. Look and examine to see what context does it actually fit. Because Romans 9:6 is blatant. Because Israel, and I've checked, the identical spelling is used twice. And it's logically inconsistent unless it has two meanings. He also points to the Galatians passage that, about Israel is is basically the elect. The seed of Abraham is what he mentions. But here's a guy who normally does politics and whatnot, and he hit the scripture solid. Amazingly, I was impressed. I was really impressed with that. And so, I haven't watched them in ages, but I watched a few of the other ones, which, and a lot of this seems to back the other stuff, but that was really good. I'm leaving you that because, again, one last thing. Life is difficult. And as I mentioned, Friday, Chris came and we hiked. Saturday, I had in my mind, I needed to see a bunch of people. And I was thinking, okay, Lord, I want to go see these people. I want to bless them. Because Saturday was the last official day of the farmer's market. So that's how I started. I went there. And I had a list of people in my mind that I would wanted to see, to encourage, to bless. But blew me away. They were all there. Not some, not most, all of them. And I was, thank you, Lord. I had some really good dialogues with several of them. Some of them lasted a good long time. And I do believe I was there to encourage them. And I delight in that. I got some tomatoes too and other things, but anyway. But you know, it turned around. I was encouraged in many ways. But one of the things that was kind of a highlight, one lady that I've talked with there for literally for years, her English is okay, but you can tell she has a thick accent. She's from Thailand. I mentioned her before. She was there. We did talk. And she actually gave me some tomatoes. Little tiny ones that. And it turned out, because of circumstance especially, she gave them to me for free, a bag full of them for free. But she said to me, I need to go home because I have to go pick up something. I think it was like a purse or whatnot that she... And would you watch my booth? You know, her table. She has loaves of bread. She has some various leafy kind of things. And she has some sauces that she has made. And it was kind of like, well, I've never done this before. But I did it Saturday. The anticipation is she doesn't get much business at all. I don't know if I've ever seen her sell anything, now that I think of it. Besides, she has sold tomatoes to me. But I don't know if I've ever seen her make a sale. I think obviously she has. But so she leaves, and, you know, the table's there, and it's not, you know, I'm just kind of standing around, kind of wondering what's going on. And very few customers were coming in. So it was kind of, a few of the other vendors were kind of giving me a hard time, you know, we're roped into this kind of stuff and whatnot. And then a lady shows up, drives in, shows up, looks around, comes to that table. And so I do the little marketing pitch about the breads and the sauces and whatnot. She buys them. Kind of like, whoa! I actually made a sale for this lady. And the thing that blew me away, it really blew me away. Say, okay, this loaf of bread was whatever. This and this, the two together was $9 or $14. This lady pulls out some cash, and what does she have? $14. It's kind of like, you can see God sitting in the corner saying, okay, next thing on the script. Yeah. It's kind of like, it just blew me away. And then a good 5-10 minutes later, the lady from Thailand comes back. You know, the problem is I don't know her name. Anyway, she comes back and I was able to hand her the cash, and she was excited. That blew me away. What I saw in that was God's grace to me directly and through me to others. It was amazing. Obviously, the next stop on the way home to see Miss Lillian. And again, the timing just blew me away. Just the circumstances. She was outside doing something. So we talked for a while. We didn't talk that long because I knew I had other things to do. But we talked a while, good conversation. So I got to see her. And then went home, ate and whatnot. And I took my second hike for the day. I went to see my friend Mike. And the thing again that is so fascinating is as I approached his apartment, hey, John! You could tell in his voice he was pleased to see me. Because he had called me, was it Friday? I think there's one when he... And he told me that he said that he took a walk, because he has a walker now. I saw that outside. And he took a walk, and he went too far, and it was kind of like, I need help. And what he was implying, that he called me to say, come help me. But I think, because his mind is having some problems. But I was there to encourage him, got some laughs, some smiles, and so forth. Somebody called him. They started talking, so that was my opportunity to bow out. Again, I saw the Lord's orchestration in all this. He allowed me to bless Mike, one of the... So I had basically everybody that I wanted to see on the list done. But it didn't stop there. Heading down the Greenway, going to the Run for the Freedom, a 5K race. And as I was walking by, somebody near the creek, and turned and looked, and it was a lady who used to actually live just down the road from me, Teresa. Her and her brother own a house that they grew up in, and I think there's some tension between the two of them. She now lives in an apartment, and the house is up for sale. But, you know, she's a little strange, but I, you know, I spent some time talking with her briefly, and I said, oh, I gotta go, because I gotta get... But when was the last time I saw her? Last year at the Run for the Freedom, when I was running or race walking, I thought the timing, just again, Lord, the Lord's saying, I got this, oh, I got it planned out. And then I was, you know, I was passing, you can see that there were signs and whatnot set up and so forth. And I got to that point, you know, and I was getting closer and I heard in the background the national anthem. So one of the things I thought, okay, the program has started, and this is happening before I get there. So the national anthem, and perhaps even a pledge of allegiance, if that transpired, I did not have to take a part, so I wouldn't stand out as being someone who has issues with this, which is another thing. But anyway, I found that timing interesting. I did get there. And I looked around for people that I would recognize from last year. My disappointment was not one. I didn't recognize a single person. But I did interact with people, had some reasonable conversations, talked with a couple of people, actually left the Chauffeur Leaks card with a couple, had some good conversations, modest conversations, but I felt clumsy. And shortly after the race started, I did I watched them go. I did not participate. I had a few more conversations, and I left. Because it was emotionally difficult. But one of the interactions I had, and that's why the card to my wife today. I went and talked with several people, but I saw one group and I thought, well, okay, fine. But then I thought about it again and I went back to them. Well, no one was there, and said, okay, you're dealing with young kids and drug abuse. And one of the things, they're apparently trying to inform, keep people to enlighten them not to go to this path. And I asked them, I said, when I look, try to interact with young people, one of the things I find is the problem of the cell phone addiction. And it seems to be as strong as cocaine. And the thing that the woman I talked with said, absolutely. and basically we were in agreement that for some, that addictive characteristic of the cell phone is part of the lead up to the addictive characteristic of drugs. So I found that fascinating, that, and again, it's not me that sees this alone. And that's why I sent the card to my wife, because I don't, you know, I wonder about my kids. I have no idea about my kids. You know, bottom line, I do think these are interesting videos that I've linked. The gentleman, you know, Mark Dice, who talks about the truth, to actually use Romans 9:6 was again, it shocked me. But in a sense, which I find more important, is this one reporter, my home is Gaza. And so when she reports and she sees things blowing up, it's a lot different than when I see other reporters who are reporting in a foreign land. She's reporting for a home. That really, you know, I found that more than fascinating. But in the Lord's grace, Saturday, I saw everybody. And I believe he allowed me to bless, hopefully, everyone I dealt with. At the farmer's market, Miss Lillian, my friend Mike, Teresa, that I saw on the Greenway, and these people that, again, I've never met before, the new people at the Run for the Freedom. Okay, and one last thing. There was a conversation with Chris, and because when I did, when I had a conversation with my friend Rick, and he talked about a ministry, apparently an LDS ministry in Knoxville, I think Knoxville, that actually has trucks, then they take things to disaster events. And I thought, oh yeah, there's one like that in town, and he wasn't familiar with it. And so I talked with Chris because he has actually attempted to get Metro Expedite to provide services for them for trucking. The company, the group is called Operation Compassion. And so I checked their website, and a couple things came up. I'm getting long. A couple things came up. One is they had on their website an article about people that they're dealing with in Ukraine. And one of the things that's fascinating, Kharkiv, which is, I think, a lot more culturally Russian. It's still in Ukraine, but it's near the Donbass region. I believe I got that right. So there's a lot of culturally Russian people there, because that's, you know, the eastern part, which is more culturally West Russian. The western part, or especially, is more cultural. Central and western is more culturally Ukrainian. Apparently, you know, southeast, Odessa, apparently has a whole lot of, you know, Russian culturally there too. And I think a lot of the West, Lviv and so forth, is culturally Polish. So, I mean, there's a lot of, it varies. Just like, well, in the United States. But anyway, so I saw that in there and I said, you know, I need to email them about Shofar Leaks. And I wrote a fairly intense email to them, and they had a form, and so I sent it in the form actually this morning. But I sent the email, because I didn't have an email address, I sent the email to Chris and said, please go ahead and put a cover on this, because one of the people that he knows, a person who apparently he's known for years and years, who is like second or third in the totem pole there. And so he put a very pleasant preface to it. So not only did I do the form, but I got directly to this gentleman, and he responded. He responded by saying, yes, we'll send this up to, you know, up the chain, as he put it, I think is the term he used. So I looked a little bit more into the chain. And what I found, because what I also did is I looked at, they have some videos online. So I looked at some of them. And, you know, particularly the ones about the work in Ukraine. And the interesting thing is, the article was the people that escaped Ukraine that they helped escaped by going through Russia, which again, is not the image, because apparently, literally, millions of people have left Ukraine via Russia. Obviously, some have gone through Poland and things of that nature, but a whole bunch, a lot, go into Russia. I mean, a bunch, because again, culturally Russian. Some have gone from there to other places. Some simply are in Russia now. But so I saw that, and, you know, made the mention of that. But I also saw where there was a comment about they apparently are bought 50 some acres here in town because they have a warehouse, and they're going to build something appropriate for them that they own. I think because they lease what they have, my guess is. And One of the things they mentioned is one of the things they want to do is put some people to work, specifically people who have a prison record, especially those who are, and their term was, repeat offenders. And I thought, well, you know, ding, 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 ding. So I did in my email to them indicate, you know, the irony was Saturday I went and visited my friend who is a, you know, convicted felon. And the other thing is the repeat offender term is me. But it's as a whistleblower. And, you know, because I mentioned grace for the repeat offender for a theft, you know, a thief, for example, is necessary. So is for a whistleblower. And in both cases, they're hard to find. Grace is hard to find. But anyway, I was able to mention that. But one other thing I did, you know, because it's I checked into a little bit of the organization, and the issue is they are Operation Compassion and Operation Underground Railroad, kind of like, gee, there's some similarities here. And there are more than I... It concerns me. Because as I looked into it, the head of the organization is also the... or has been or still affiliated with a local Church of God that I walk by. It's actually directly across the street from the bank I use. And they actually are, they moved to a bigger facility that they built. And the building that's more in town that I walk by has been changed over, and they're with a different focus. And one of their ministries is called, I think it's U-Turn or something of that nature. And this guy is very much involved. The objective there, ministry to people who have gone astray and made the U-turn. Makes great sense. And I, again, I celebrate what they do, which goes to the, you know, repeat offender thing. So I'm all for it. I think that's great. I was really encouraged by that. But I also found out because as a nonprofit organization, they're was it Form 990, whatever it is online, and I looked. And it's a big organization. I think $70 million last year. And the head dude is being paid $200K. Plus, apparently, he's a pastor. Plus, he has this U-turn stuff. So, it gives the aura of Tim Ballard and his $500,000 salary. The other side of the coin could be, this is the most financed organization, so therefore he can get paid well on that and do the other things perhaps for lesser or nothing. That's a real possibility. If that's true, I would applaud it. If he's milking them all, I would be concerned. I don't know. But I want to leave... hopefully the door opened to all those things. But either way, a $200K salary is still, for a nonprofit organization, concerns me. I didn't look into it any more than that because I simply don't want to. But I do find it ironic. The place that I've walked by for years, the church, I'm now dealing with a guy who was the pastor, kind of like, or my email apparently is being forwarded to him. And my concern is Because I directly mentioned the Shofar leaks, the protect the whistleblower, free the sex slave, facilitate reconciliation. I did mention my direct interaction with people in Ukraine. And I really, and said, I forget what I said, but I really find that it seems hate drives more than love. Because when I've interacted with people, it's the other side is bad, whether the Russians or the Ukrainians. The Russians are bad because they invaded in 2022. The Ukrainians are bad because they started bombing Donbass in 2014. It's not the politics, it's the people. And I need to make sure that stays in my heart, too. I sent out a bunch of resumes, have an interaction started, and so forth. And I'm at the edge. I would assume sometime this week, Shofar Leaks gets funded again somehow, or it's over. Because I don't think I can do, if I get a software job, I don't think I can do this. I just can't anymore. I'm an old guy. And the work I've been doing with Shofar Leaks has been ripping my heart out. And if I have to work for somebody else doing something different, not the same technology I'm using, the Shofar Nexus technology, it's not the thing you can go back and forth. It'll be over. One of the thoughts I had is just like what I did Saturday. I went and everyone I wanted to see with the objective to bless them, I saw. There's a hint, maybe, the Lord says, you're not going to work with people in Ukraine. You're not going to work with the sex slaves, and those kind of things. You're going to work with the people in front of you. Maybe that's true. But then I keep getting more information and more doors and hints. There are people in foreign lands. I want to do this. But right now, again, Chris said he was going to sponsor me again, like he did last year for the Run for the Freedom. But he said, it was his idea. It's like a $30 entry fee. Here's the $30. He gave it to me on Friday. Use that to run or go buy food. Because I'm a hungry fellow, I bought food. I don't eat as well as I used to. Because Shofar Leaks is my drive. I want to do it. And my assumption is by the end of the week, I'll be enthusiastically full force again on it. Or it's over. My lady, remember that pro-life activist you married? Started with being pro-life. Got into the black-white thing. Got into slavery. And then the Lord set people in front of me to deal with. And in other lands to deal with. I remember so many years ago talking with some Muslim in Belgium. And it's kind of like, I can bless this man. I want to do that. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.